Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Catherine Bakke-Mekas is here from the Community Foundation serving West Central Illinois and Northeast Missouri, and we've got a lot to talk about, not only this month, but next month. I can't wait for next month's topic. In fact, we're going to preview that a little bit. You don't even know about this, but we're going to preview that on Wednesday here on the Mary Griffith Show. Somebody who has benefited from this TAG program with the Tracy Foundation and the Community Foundation is coming in to talk about that. Oh. It'll just be brief.
Okay.
Just be a little snippet. You might tune in, make sure she says everything right, but we'll talk about that next month. But let's get to this month. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to think there's a slow season for the Community Foundation, but there really isn't a slow season.
You know, every year the slow seasons get faster and shorter, Mary, which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. But we've got something to talk about. We talked about it extensively at the beginning of the year. We kind of pushed it right before tax time, and now some people are going to forget about this. But if you paid a lot in taxes and you live in Illinois, this is only for the Illinois portion of the Community Foundation, Missouri, lobby your people and they can get
introduced.
One too.
We're working on it.
Okay, so it didn't make it out of this session
No.
So keep plugging on that. It's called the Illinois Gives Tax Credit, and I'm surprised more people haven't signed up for this. But again, it's a little bit complex, hard to explain to people in a radio interview. But you can give them a snippet and get their appetite whetted, because I think everybody is interested in paying less taxes.
Yeah, you know, we typically say that, you know, saving on taxes is not the, it's not the reason why people give,
it's
right?
Not the reason
it's never the reason, but, you know,
I mean,
savvy.
Leo didn't become the Pope because he wouldn't have to pay tax
right,
anymore.
Sure.
Yeah, he's like, oh, good, I can live in a government house. I don't have to pay real estate tax. I don't have to pay income tax. Yeah, I'm going to be Pope. No,
but, you know, if
reason.
You're going to give, it's a nice additional incentive in addition to the, you know, positive impact you'll be making. And, of course, we always think it's a really good time to plan for the future and create these endowments that are going to support your community, support your favorite nonprofit in perpetuity. But starting in 2025, it is a really, really good time to do that because there is a new program in Illinois called Illinois Gives. And we are incredibly proud of this, really excited because it is a 25% state of Illinois income tax credit for gifts to permanent endowments at community foundations that benefit Illinois. So that's us. We're qualified to issue these credits. And it's as simple as that. You, 25% of the gift you give, up to $100,000 of tax credit that you can get. So someone wants to give $400,000, they can get $100,000 worth of tax credit off their bill, which is pretty incredible, and it carries forward for 5 years if you don't use that whole tax credit.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'll just share my personal experience. We bought solar system for our house, and we were going to get this tax credit. And, you know, I found out from my tax person that I probably won't have to pay really any income tax next year because they can't put it all on 1 year's thing because, you know, we don't have that kind of income. So we don't have that kind of tax burden. So it's really amazing. Again, nobody gives to save money on their taxes. But why not save money on your taxes? And if you can push this forward, like, let's say it's like, well, you know, I'm getting close to retirement. I'm still earning. So I've still got a pretty big earner's income tax bill. 10 years from now, I won't have that because I'll be on Social Security. Now is the time I need the tax credits. Now is the time I need to be a little bit more generous and to start forward thinking, you know, this money, I'm going to eventually probably give this money. So why wait till closer to my death when I don't get the tax benefit for it or a lesser tax benefit? Mm-hmm. Why not do this now and get the immediate, not only the smile and the thank you card, but the immediate tax credit? It's really fabulous.
It really is. And what we're finding is there's still plenty of people who don't know about it, despite our best efforts to come on the Mary Griffith Show and talk about it and
you
send out the postcards.
Every single
and
person in the world doesn't listen to the Mary Griffith Show? Now, this is shocking.
Yeah.
But there must be a few multimillionaires out there who just haven't heard about it. But we joke about that. You don't have you don't have to give $400,000.
No.
Any gift you make
you don't.
Can be eligible for this. That's the best thing about it.
That's right.
So sometimes these tax programs are like, oh, that's just for big wigs. That's just for rich people. Well, this one isn't. This is for everybody.
It's for everybody, and it's for any cause in Illinois, which is so incredible because oftentimes tax credits are for, you know, a specific sector, a specific industry. But this one is no matter what you care about, as long as it's in Illinois, you can endow that and get a tax credit for it. So you can make a gift to any of the 250 funds that we already have, well, the ones that are for Illinois specifically, which would be probably more than half of them. Or you could create your own new fund. And that could go for an endowment that is for a specific nonprofit organization. I've got a flyer in front of me about designated endowments. We hold a number of funds that specifically benefit places like Horizons or Friends of the Trails, the Quincy Community Theater, these organizations that have these permanent endowments. You can make a gift to their endowment and get a 25% tax credit. It could also work for scholarships that benefit Illinois students or those funds that are more general in cause. So say it's for youth opportunities in Illinois. Mm-hmm. As long
it's
as it's an
generic,
Illinois cause.
But yeah. Well, the great thing about this is the state of Illinois decided to do this. You know, the state of Illinois gets a lot of knocks. And people that just got their property tax bill in Adams County, I would like to do some statistics on Blessing Hospital's coronary cardiac admissions when people open up their property tax bill this year. So this is an income tax credit, and it's just a way for you to maybe save a little bit of money and, again, give to a great cause where it stays permanently. There's nothing wrong with giving money for the day-to-day operations. In fact, you don't discourage that at all.
No, we encourage it.
You absolutely have to keep your charity healthy today. But you have to put some money aside to keep your charity healthy for the years to come. And speaking as someone who has a fund within the Community Foundation, my brother and I started one in honor of our parents. Our best day of the year is when we get to decide where we're going to spend the money. And we try to do things that would honor the memory of my mother and father. And then someday my brother and I will be gone. And then it'll be the Community Foundation. We'll turn that over to them. And within parameters, they'll make those decisions. But the great thing about that is, one thing I always liked about my parents' thinking was they were always willing to try new progressive things. So something that my dad, born in 1925, couldn't even imagined, or my mother, born in 1935, couldn't even imagined in 2055, that money will still be there to benefit people in their community where they lived and worked. And that's the most important thing about the Community Foundation. So how do we get this tax credit? I mean, it sounds too good to be true. It is not. It is totally vetted. It is absolutely legal. And don't be afraid. Ask your own tax advisor about it. In fact, if they didn't bring it up, scold them. Why didn't you tell me this was possible? How can we find out more?
You know, my recommendation is to get in touch with the Community Foundation first. Make sure the fund that you want to give with is eligible, because it has to follow in a certain criteria, like it has to be restricted to Illinois causes. It has to be permanently endowed. So give us a call and we'll walk you through it. We've helped several donors through the process so far. And while the idea is simple, you get you give and you get a 25% tax credit, I have to say that the steps are not exactly intuitive, but we've been through it several times with several donors, and we're happy to walk you through. We've got step-by-step instructions, or heck, just come in and we'll sit down and do it together.
Okay. It's probably right for you, because again, there's no, sometimes when things are available, modest income people like myself, average Americans say, well, that's great, but I'm not John D. Rockefeller. So that's really not going to help me at all. But this is something that can help everyone. If you pay income taxes in Illinois, you can get this income tax credit.
You can, but there's a limit, Mary. So I do want to remind everybody, every year there's a $5 million bucket of credit. And we're about halfway through that bucket of credit statewide so far. So just keep that in mind, that it is not an unlimited amount of credit, but it does roll over, and renew every year for the next 5 years.
I promise I won't use all $5 million.
Yeah, save some for the rest of us.
Save some for the rest. If this is making yourself feel good because you support a charity, getting a tax credit, if sticking it to Chicago is also one of your goals, let's get all those tax credits for downstate Illinois and stick it to Chicago.
Well, that's right. Honestly, that's not the number of reasons, but we want to keep as much. That's
right.
What we're here for. That's what the community foundations are here for. And that's why we're statewide very excited about this, because this is an opportunity to keep dollars local and bring new dollars into the community. And you know, what better than that?
I mean, it's a win, 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 win. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to discuss more ways that you can give through the Community Foundation to benefit yourself and to others in perpetuity. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Coming up, an ad about the Teresa Adams House. Another great thing you could probably endow.
Hey, they already have one.
They already have an endowment.
and it's eligible for Illinois Gives.
And it's Illinois for Eligible Gives. And they're having a fundraiser this Thursday night out at Freeze Ornamental Nursery, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's from 5 to 7:30, and everybody needs to go. It's $40, and they'll have, you know, the adult liquid refreshment will be flowing, and the hors d'oeuvres will be there, and you'll be in a beautiful garden setting, and you'll learn a lot about the Teresa Adams home, and you'll just have fun. And here's some more information about the Teresa Adams house. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Catherine Bakke-Mekas is my guest today. She's the Executive Director of the Community Foundation serving West Central Illinois and Northeast Missouri. We've talked about the Illinois Gives Program, a 25% state income tax credit for eligible gifts to permanent endowments. And now we're going to talk about designated funds, which offer a lasting way to support specific organizations. Just talking to a friend of mine who has a endowed fund. He lives in Missouri, and they're excited about it. You know, they just pretty much started it, and it's just exciting. They haven't had they haven't made their first disbursement yet. So again, it's when you get to make that first disbursement that you really get excited. Then every year the money just keeps flowing, and the great thing is the pot never empties because it's a permanent endowment. So everybody can either start one of their own, or probably a better idea, especially if you don't have a whole lot of money, is just to give to an endowment that already exists. I mean, if you already love the Quincy Community Theater, if you already love the Teresa Adams home, if you already love whatever, find out if they have an endowment and give your money that way.
That's right. We hold a number of endowments for local nonprofits, and we're very proud of that, to be able to provide this tool and support our nonprofits with the management of endowments. And it's especially exciting, like you said, when we get to make the distribution, because we start seeing that grant every year grow a little bit. And sometimes it grows a lot, depending on what type of gifts come in. So those gifts, these grants that we make from designated endowments, these are funds that are set up to support a specific nonprofit. You know, so in 2024, at the end of the year, they range anywhere from about $500 up to more than $60,000, because we had one that received a very, very nice planned gift bequest through a will.
Can you imagine, folks, the joy of giving away $60,000 and knowing
every
that
year
the principal is still there?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the beauty of this endowment idea. You know, you write a check every year, and that you put into an endowment fund, and you and your friends or whoever can put into these endowment funds, and then those endowment funds pay out, and it just keeps compounding compounding, because your gift is never really given away.
That's
it's
right.
Just the interest
That's
on
right.
your gift.
And in that example, that was a fund that was started very modestly while our donor was living, and you know, it kicked out a few hundred dollars every year, but she made a plan for her estate, and after she passed away, because of that careful planning, she left a very, very generous bequest, will gift, and now that is, you know, $60,000 plus. That nonprofit does not have to fundraise every year, so it takes the pressure off that nonprofit. They can pay a salary with that and not have to worry about where they're going to get that $60,000 every year, because every year they're going to get a check for it from the Community Foundation, and it's going to get a little bit bigger every single year.
And the person who passed away peacefully, knowing that that charity they loved will continue, because that person probably made annual gifts for
right.
operations, but now mm-hmm. this is the permanent gift, the gift that keeps on giving.
That's right.
It's kind of cliche, but it is so true with mm-hmm. the Community Foundation. It's still a hard concept for a lot of people to wrap their minds around. They also think that you have to have a lot of money to be involved. And again, you don't have to start your own fund. You can contribute to the well over 200 funds that already exist. This is a way for you to help a charity in perpetuity. The other thing is, let's face it, a lot of my favorite charities are really small. They don't have much of a staff. They cannot possibly keep track of all this money. I mean, investing money takes a certain degree of expertise and skill. You're investing how much every year, Catherine?
Our endowment's up to about $65 million.
Okay. So at $65 million, you're getting that level of advice. Whereas, you know, if I'm trying to invest $650, you know, I'm not going to be available. First of all, I'm not going to have access to some of the things that you even have access to. And so this is why holding this in congruous things, holding this in collective, holding it in perpetuity is so advantageous. And it really makes the gift that you're giving go even farther. So be smart with your gift giving. Make sure you get the biggest bang for your buck.
Yep. And whether it's a specific nonprofit that you want to ensure has the sustainability and ensure that they continue receiving a gift every year in your name forever, or it's something more broad. You know, it just starts with a conversation with us. We love to just listen and learn about what everyone loves to give to and what they care about. And from there, we can talk about what type of fund might achieve that. It always starts with what they care about, what they want to achieve, and see if we can't find a good solution for them.
Okay. The Community Foundation is standing by to help you. Again, we've been talking about this now for years, and I think we still have to dispel myths that you have to have an awful lot of money to be a participant. You do not. You don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to have the Rockefeller name or wealth to be part of this. In fact, it's pretty amazing what some frugal conservative people in our community have been able to amass. And this was long before Community Foundation, but I tell the story that a couple that lived in my neighborhood growing up, and they never had children, so they were always like our extra mom and dad. And I mean, we just walk in their house and go in the refrigerator and get a popsicle out. You know, we didn't even have to ask. And when they passed away, they had an estate in excess of $2 million. They had been frugal. They had invested wisely, and they didn't have all these obnoxious kids to spend their money on, so, you know, they were able to save. But they put that into permanent endowments to help their church and to help a few of the other special charities, and that money lives on today.
Yeah.
And so it's very important that the Community Foundation be healthy so that we can continue this. $55 million is now being held by the Community Foundation, and you do the math. If they give away just 5% of that every year, which would be a very conservative mm-hmm. year, you're talking a lot of money. You're talking $5 million recirculating to local, staying in our community. And that was all the purpose of the Community Foundation.
That's right.
Keep it local.
That's right.
Because a lot of times when people pass away, and again, we want you to help your children. We're not saying cut your kids off. But if they're living in California, Oregon, and Connecticut, that money doesn't stay here. If you just give 5% of your will, just 5% of your assets upon your death back to Quincy in this community or Shelbina or Pittsfield or you name it, whatever community you choose, 5%. If yeah. everybody would do that, we'd be prosperous.
It would be incredible, and you're absolutely right. It's all about keeping local dollars local, keeping those dollars that were made here working for here.
Okay. Catherine, thank you so very much. We're going to take a break, head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. When we come back, hopefully, Bill Mackold has arrived and we'll be talking about Cinderella the ballet. If not, Catherine will be doing part 3, whether she wants to or not. We'll head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Rex Battery brings you this report. My triangle instructor is here on the Mary Griffith Show, Bill Mackold, a member of many bands and also a member of the Quincy Civic Music Association. The Chicago Festival Ballet is performing Cinderella in Quincy, and this ballet is this, what is that, on a Saturday?
Saturday,
June 7th. I tell you, I'm having more trouble anymore with dates. Saturday, June 7th at 7:30 at Morrison Theater. Surprisingly, I was not picked to be Cinderella. Apparently,
oh, no.
My complete inability to perform ballet had something to do with me not being the star of the show. But
Such an oversight.
Welcome, Bill Mackold. And the truth of the matter is, there will be local talent on stage for Cinderella. So tell us all about this, please.
So we have, I believe the number is 95 local students, dance students, that will be taking part in this production. They were here over the winter to audition these kids, and I know on Friday they'll be meeting to get costumes and dress rehearse and all of that, and then we'll be part of the performance on Saturday evening.
Now, what in the world are those kids doing? Because we know, I mean, what kind of roles are they playing? I have no idea.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Either, huh?
You know, just, you know, chorus things, you know, group things whenever they need a bunch of kids on stage. So, but they'll be part of several scenes.
A lot of people have to go to a ball. There have to be townsfolk.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, they turn different animals into different things. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll be a main animal that's turned
some
into something, and they'll be small animals that need to go. This is one of the things that the Quincy Civic Music Association, I think, delights in, is bringing professional ballet to Quincy, but also letting those young dancers, boys and girls, who may want to make this their profession, have that glimpse. If they never do anything else, they can say, I performed with the Chicago Festival Ballet.
And hopefully be inspired by those professionals that are part of the production.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the Chicago Festival Ballet. Is there something special about it? I read here in their bio that they're kind of an interesting ballet company.
It's actually affiliated with a school of ballet up there in Chicago. So they are involved in education and you know, developing younger dancers into professionals. So they combine that with professional performances, and those students get that experience.
So this is like a satellite performance in Quincy, almost.
Exactly. And they do this around all over the country.
Now, I'm not familiar with the ballet Cinderella. Of course, the story of Cinderella is as old as time. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there's the stepsisters and the stepmother. Is that all part of it?
The handsome
prince.
It's the same story.
Yeah.
It's just told through dance and choreography instead of through words and singing.
Okay. So there are no words? Are there words? I don't know. You don't know. I'm asking
you
questions.
I've not seen it, so.
Okay. You know, that's an interesting question.
Usually not.
There's usually not words in a ballet.
If you go see the Nutcracker or something like that, you know. No.
You just have to use your body to express.
Exactly.
So the great thing about this, it's good for kids. It's good for little kids. They'll be able to understand the story.
Absolutely.
You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have words.
Plus, if you bring children to watch, they're going to see other children up on stage, too.
You're going to see this. This company has been in business since 1989, and they've obviously participate in several productions. They obviously do the Nutcracker. I mean, every ballet theater has to do that. They're doing Cinderella, of course. And the renowned choreographer coming to town to help these local children. I mean, the great thing about this is what an experience for those of us who are not going to be able to get to Chicago and see the ballet. For those of us who will never be to New York to see the ballet, the ballet is coming to us. And that's what the Quincy Civic Music Association tries to do.
It's been several years since we've brought a ballet to Quincy, too, before COVID, I'm sure.
So this is something that, you know, on a rotating schedule, you guys are always trying to find something new and different and bring this in. Now, the one thing I always love about your performances is when I go to performance in Quincy, I'm going to pay a heck of a lot less than I would to see the very same show in Chicago.
Right.
Because you subsidize it with your patrons, you know, season tickets, and also with your corporate sponsors. So let's talk about the evils of money. Let's talk about money right now.
Well, this show will be $25, and that's it. Again, as Mary said, it would be a lot more to see a similar show in a bigger city. So $25, you can get your tickets at Sturhan Jewelers, at Hy-Vee, at Neiman's, or Square Music Company. You can get them online on our website, or you can just buy them at the door.
Now, that's $25 for adults.
Yes.
If you're high school or younger, you get in free.
You're free. And Quincy University, John Wood, and Culver Stockton students and faculty are also free.
With their student ID.
Yes.
So that begs the question, half the audience gets in for free. How do you afford to do this, Bill Mackold? How does the Quincy Civic Music Association make this happen?
Well, we get grants and we get corporate sponsorships and such. So we make this happen through donations and grants.
Okay. So again, children free. This is, you know, super fantastic. Again, Bill and I don't know what's going to happen. Since none of us are very versed in ballet, We just know that the ballet from the Chicago Festival Ballet of Cinderella is coming. Mm-hmm. Do you know what next season is?
So we have a couple of things locked down.
Okay, let's
still
take
working
a break.
On a couple of others.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about lockdown, and then we'll review again tickets for Cinderella. Stay tuned, folks. Well, there you heard it. We couldn't recap it any better, but that's not all. They're already looking forward. This is the last show of the season, mm-hmm. and now the Quincy Civic Music Association is looking forward to another season. And so you don't have everything nailed down, but you've got a few things mm-hmm. in the hopper that you can talk about, Bill Mackold. So let's go. What's happening?
We will start in September with the Junction Saxophone Quartets. They're from all over the country, the four members. But one of the members, Holly Hubbs, is a Quincy University alumnus. And she teaches in Philadelphia now at a small university there and is part of this quartet that tours the world, performs all over the country. And so they're going to kick us off in September. And then we're very excited in February to bring in the Canadian Brass. Canadian Brass is one of the greatest well-known brass groups in the world. Tour the world. They do clinics all over the world. We believe we're going to have them do some clinic work too while they're here with high school and college students, as well as perform a concert. They are, like I said, one of the most well-known brass quintets in the world.
And will so they be able to get across the border?
Or
will they be
so.
Tariffed? Will they be tariffed?
I have no idea. And then we're working on I can't say yet, we're close to nailing it down, but a very, very big name jazz group as well. Very big name, one that everyone will know.
Big name jazz.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and that will be in May, as long as we get that nailed down, but we're very close on that.
Okay.
So those are some things we've got in the works.
You know, I like this because Holly Hubbs, I don't know her, but she's a QU alum. Mm-hmm. And isn't Quincy University kind of, well, they're noted for music just in general. I mean, QU for a small college is well noted for music.
Right.
Don't they have a special isn't the saxophone one of their special instruments, or is that the clarinet? What's the one that they always have a day where all the kids come?
Oh, yes, we do have a saxophone day.
Okay.
And we have a clarinet day.
Oh, well, that's...
and a percussion camp and a honor jazz day. So we do a lot of those kind of outreach
things. But saxophone is obviously something that QU grads
right.
are known for, and this lady has gone on to become mm-hmm. a teacher.
Right.
Must make people very proud.
And perform all over the world.
And perform all over the world. Mm-hmm. So have saxophone, will travel. Look for that in September. And then the Canadian Brass, again, something to be said for that big brass sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just can't.
And these are five of the best performers in the world.
Yeah.
So, and again, most, you know, musicians, maybe not the everyday person, but musicians know who the Canadian Brass are.
I think the thing that I like about Quincy Civic Music Association, I've said repeatedly, I think it's the best season ticket for your dollar mm-hmm. because you get the most widest variety.
Right.
You know, sometimes they bring in the Festival Ballet from Chicago, which is a lot. It's big.
It's
huge.
Yes.
It's enormous. But a lot of times it's a quartet or a quintet mm-hmm. or, you know, something like that. That the average person, unless you're an aficionado of that particular musical strain, has not really followed.
Right.
And yet you walk out of there entertained, number one, and educated and informed, number two. I mean, nobody goes to a concert to be informed.
Mm-hmm.
They go to a concert to be entertained.
Right.
But it may lead them to say, hey, I like the Canadian Brass. The next time there's a brass band playing somewhere, I want to go and
mm-hmm.
be
yeah.
part of that because
sure.
I really hadn't been familiar with that genre.
Right.
Or they go down to the library and get a record or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes such a big difference.
Right.
Now, when it comes to these guest artists that you always book. I mean, this year you had steel drums. Talk about what you had this year, because the variety was incredible.
Yeah, we had Candace Hill, who is a steel drum performer. We had a string quartet at the very beginning of the year. We had a vocal group, a vocal quartet in. I'm trying to think of what else we had. Obviously, the ballet.
There
were five. And I'm blanking on the other one.
That's okay.
But,
I mean, again, what a variety.
Yes.
What a variety.
We try to look at even like next year. We're looking, okay, what did we have this year? What can we do next year that's different from what we had this year? We try to fill different interests. You know, we want different people who, you know, who are singers or string players or woodwind players, brass players, whatever, to be able to have interest in what we're bringing in. And we can't always do everything in 1 year, but over the course of a couple of years, we want to make sure we're kind of touching all the bases.
Let's talk about the relationship between Keokuk and Hannibal, because their concert association and Keokuk's concert association, Quincy Civic Music Association, not Quincy Concert Association, but they're all kind of the same genre.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back and forth with each other, and you have reciprocity on on discounts on tickets, and even if you buy season tickets to all of them, you know, you can get free tickets and stuff like that. How do you have to coordinate with each other, because you wouldn't want to both bring in the Canadian brass or something like that. So how do you kind of work this around so that you have an even wider variety? Because not only does Quincy have a very big variety, but if you go to all the concerts in Hannibal and Keokuk and Quincy, you're going to get about 15 different things that are all drastically different.
Sure. You know, to be honest, when we're looking at who we want to bring in, we're not really looking at what Hannibal and Keokuk are doing. So I think we have a bit more money to work with than they do. So I think.
But you have to at some time make it known, because you wouldn't want them to book.
Right.
You wouldn't want to say, oh, the Canadian Brass is in town. Guess what? We're doing a concert the next night in Hannibal.
Right.
That would be counterproductive.
Yeah, that's not. That hasn't happened.
That hasn't happened. So again, so there's like. Now, when you bring someone in like the Canadian Brass, and there's five people in the brass band. Okay. Where do they come from? They're not coming from a home port. They must be performing somewhere. So you're
sometimes part of a larger tour.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they're coming in for one show, in which case they're flying in from different corners of the world, possibly, or at least from their home country.
Because some of these people don't play together. They play together regularly, but they all teach maybe at a different university.
Right. Scattered throughout. You know,
and so they're professionals, so they have a pickup rehearsal, and they're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they'll get together several times during the year and maintain an inventory of music and things that they're always up and ready to go on, and they'll change that over time. But they're ready to go. But again, I'm not sure, because I'm not the one that booked this one. I wasn't in charge of this one. I don't know if it's part of a larger tour that they're doing or if they're literally coming in for this one concert.
I bet you were in charge of the timpani player, of the steel drum player.
The steel drum player, yes, I was. Jeez. Oh, the other one that we had was Iowa Brass last year.
That's right, Iowa
Brass.
Because
I was in charge of that one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We promoted that till the cows came home because of Laura Sievert playing with the Iowa Brass. I love it. Well, folks, to backtrack, Cinderella, the final performance of this season, is coming up Saturday, June 7th in the evening, 7:30 at Morrison Theater. Bring your little boys and girls. There will be plenty of boys dancing ballet, too. And anyone who thinks that... it's easy to dance ballet. You can ask any probably football player, baseball player, soccer player. They wish they could do the athletic feats that these ballet dancers can
Some
do.
Some of them have taken ballet to improve their coordination
Absolutely.
On the field.
They often have dance lessons to help improve their coordination. Tickets are $25 for adults. Of course, anyone that has a student ID at John Wood, Quincy University, or Culver Stockton gets in free of charge. So do faculty. And, of course, any child 18 and younger, high school or below, gets in free. So let's pack the Morrison Theater. I mean, that's what it's there for,
that's
to pack
the goal.
It.
Yep.
So let's get into this Chicago Festival Ballet, Saturday, June 7th. Curtain rises at 7:30. And see the local, what did you say, 75?
95.
95 local dancers.
Mm-hmm.
From obviously a vast variety of dance schools, because not one dance school doesn't have all those kids.
We've coordinated with all of them as much as possible. So.
Wow, 95 local dancers. That in itself will be bringing Grandma and Grandma out. And what a wonderful thing to say, I danced with the Chicago Festival Ballet.
Absolutely.
You know, I took ballet lessons, and after 2 weeks, I said, when do I get to stand on my tippy toes? And they said, in about 12 years. And I said, maybe I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
But
walking
like a butterfly, I thought, okay, I walked like a butterfly for 2 weeks. Now, when do we get to stand on our tippy toes? And I was told that won't be happening anytime soon. And the teacher probably thought, and for you, never. But but it was nice to know that they were at least trying. Bill Meckold, always a pleasure. Hey, while I've got you here, Shameless plug for the Quincy Park Band. Are you part of that this summer?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any idea what the theme is this week or what kind of music they're playing this week.
I'm not sure either. So we find out when we get there, basically. So.
Are you serious?
Yes. Although I do play golf sometimes with the director, so I'll get a little bit of a sneak peek sometimes if we talk about it on the golf course.
Now, this fascinates me. There is no way you guys all just come together and sight read that. There is no way.
Yeah, we do. Now, of course, we've built up repertoire over the years, so sometimes we're playing things that we've played last year or previous years. And although John Hume has done a really nice job the past couple of summers of introducing some new material and some new things in that. But yeah, we get together and just read.
I just don't see how that works.
Experience, I guess.
I think you guys are good.
Yeah, it's a good group.
Okay, so you don't know till you show up.
Pretty much. I mean, and, you know, we do have one week where it's a big band concert, so we know it's going to be jazz type music. There's sometimes a Broadway theme or different themes like that. Yeah, but
okay, folks, you'll find out when they find out what the heck is going on. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.